This podcast exists for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please contact your financial advisor.
Welcome back to Man vs. Market. This is episode 14 of the podcast, where we analyze everything stock market and economics related in order to create a strategy to help us beat the market. Thanks again for helping me get Man vs. Market into the top 2% of all podcasts globally. But before we go any further, please consider leaving a review if you find anything that we share today valuable. It helps me grow the podcast and bring it to as many listeners as I possibly can. Now, there's quite a bit to talk about this week, so let's jump right into the economic news that we should be aware of. First, we have to talk about the incredible labor market and how it continues to defy all gravity. Despite the aggressive rate hiking by the Fed and the recent slowdown in all of the economic activity nationwide, the labor market is continuing to go ballistic. On Friday, the government reported that the economy added 528,000 jobs in July, exceeding most economists' forecasts by over 250,000 jobs. The unemployment rate is now back to 3.5%, down from 3.6% we had the month prior. This is an especially significant milestone because we have now officially regained all of the 22 million jobs that were lost initially at the beginning of the pandemic, which was now almost 2.5 years ago. The unemployment rate is also now back below where it was pre-COVID. And while this actually may seem like a pretty good thing, and for those who have been recently employed, it may be, problem is the Fed may not see it this way. Despite the aggressive tightening and the Fed's best effort to bring down inflation by pulling the economy into recession, the ever-strengthening labor market is only going to boost inflation further, as more people employed means more money to spend, and more money to spend means higher inflation. This very well may mean that the Fed will tighten rates even faster than they were planning before. Like we mentioned last episode, the market is anticipating about another 100 basis points of upside by the end of the year. This number could easily be shifted to about 125 to 150 basis points just off of this report alone, as the Fed absolutely has to bring down the labor market if they want any chance at touching the inflation. Quick side fact, there is something called the Phillips curve, which essentially states that as inflation rises, unemployment should fall with it, and vice versa. As inflation falls, unemployment should also increase, meaning that this even stronger labor market might be saying there is still more upside for inflation. Now, speaking of inflation, the consumer price index for the month of July will be released this coming Wednesday, and this will show us whether we had any relief in inflation over the last month. In June, the inflation rate peaked at a whopping 9.1% annually, the highest rate in more than 40 years, and about 0.5% above the previous month's 8.6% figure. It is highly likely that the number will come down, given the relief in both fuel prices and food prices that we've seen over the last month, but that does not necessarily mean that the CPI has topped out for this tightening cycle. This July CPI number may be less consequential than some of the readings that have come before, mostly due to the fact that the market is highly pricing in the chance of a declining CPI, and it seems very likely that that will be the case. If we somehow see the CPI pop above that 9.1% level, things would likely get incredibly hectic very quickly. As far as company earnings reports go, about 87% of major companies have already reported, and it's been to really surprising results. Second quarter profits for companies in the S&P 500 were expected to increase at a rate of about 5.8%, but have instead overperformed and are increasing at a rate of about 6.7%. This 0.9% difference may not seem very large or significant, but according to the market, it is incredibly significant. This is one of the big reasons that the market has had the crazy rally we've seen thus far. The rest of this earnings season should probably be a bit more mild than what we've seen so far, as the vast majority of major companies have already reported. So don't expect anything wild to happen pre-market or post-market just based off of some of the earnings numbers. Moving over to some commodities, the oil market continues to sell off in a dramatic fashion. The price of US crude oil has fallen below $90 a barrel for the first time since Russia initially invaded Ukraine. Oil even traded as low as $88 a barrel on Friday and is down almost 10% for the week. This sell-off in the price of oil is likely due to the market pricing in the odds of recession and the ultimate demand shock that would follow. This is a continuation of what seems to be a healthy sell-off after the monstrous rally we had over the beginning of the year. However, my verdict remains the same, and that oil is still very underpriced and the market is overpricing in the probability of a demand shock given a recession. As China continues to reopen, plus some of the additional news from Europe that they will begin using even more crude oil for some of their heating purposes, there is no reason to believe that oil prices will stay this low for an extended period of time. We may fall a little bit further than this, but the broader fundamentals remain the same. There's actually another oil position I will be adding to the portfolio today, and I will talk about that after we get through the charting section. After Friday's very strong jobs report, there was an extended selling pressure on the price of government bonds, which ultimately sent the yields much, much higher. The 10-year Treasury yield is now at about 2.84%, up from 2.64% at the end of the previous week. That is a pretty substantial rally for Treasury yields. And remember, as Treasury yields tend to rise, stocks tend to go down as investors begin allocating their money more towards bonds, given the higher yields. This goes with my current thesis of a small pullback over the next week or two, which we will talk about more in the charting section. The UK follows in the EU's shoes and increases interest rates by half of a percentage point, or 50 basis points. This is the UK's largest rate hike since the bank was initially made independent from the British government all the way back in 1997. Even from the mouths of the UK policymakers themselves, this is essentially robbing Peter to pay Paul. They are trying to tackle inflation, but are willingly knowing that they are likely bringing themselves into recession. Policymakers, in fact, even said that they believe that this next recession will be the longest recession since the global financial crisis. Let's now take a few minutes to analyze the charts from this last week, and let's see what we can take away from them. First and foremost, price action is slowing down pretty dramatically. We are again trapped in a very tight trading range that has made things a bit more boring. Let's look at the three indices and their respective performances last week. First, the S&P 500 finished up about 0.3%. The Dow Jones finished down about minus 0.2%. And the Nasdaq finished up about 2%. So it looks like tech was still the leader, despite what the early week was saying and showing us. But overall, we are still seeing price slowing down all around the board. Let's take a look at the SPY S&P 500 ETF and analyze the price action just a little bit. So this week, we closed just above the 50% retracement level at about 411.66. That is probably not as significant as it would have been a week or two ago, given the pretty choppy price action we've seen, but it is a little bit important and will definitely be the first level to watch. But as far as the slowing price action, we are back trading in the supply zone that we saw in early June. Last time, there were 8 days or so of chop as the market was waiting for the FOMC policy update and was waiting for something to move the market. And we are right below that 417.45 level, which was that last swing high in June. So if we do want to see the market make new highs and keep pushing upwards, the bulls absolutely have to reclaim this level first. This would mean that this overall longer-term downtrend is technically coming to a close, as we would have been making a higher high in several month increments. But this chop is representing a broader macroeconomic problem in that we don't necessarily know where to go. The market does not know where to go. This last bounce over the last month or so was likely due to oversold conditions and the slightly more dovish Fed and some of the comments that Jerome Powell had made. But right now, there is no particular direction. And like I've mentioned multiple times on this podcast, and especially the last time we were having this compressed price action back in June, is the price action is now compressing again like a spring. And what I mean by this is think about a spring, and as you keep pushing it closer and closer and closer together, the further you push it together, the less variation you are going to see in the actual spring. But when you release the pressure, it moves in a direction very convincingly. So it means that there's probably a big move coming once the market can kind of get its feet under it and decide which direction it wants to go. If history is anything to go off of, It will be sometime this week. The last chop at this level was about 8 days. So far we've chopped for about 6. So somewhere in the middle of the week, we can definitely see a big move up or down. This decline in volume is also rather substantial and is probably a bit worrisome. This is just more conviction that the market has no direction and is waiting for the first signal to move either up or down. This is pretty typical of these flag patterns that we're seeing, where we see pretty high volume on the strong move up or down, which we did see, and then very low volume as we consolidate before making another big move. So expect something big to happen, and expect it to happen very soon. Now, there is also something that is a bit unusual that is taking place on the technical side here. There are conflicting divergences on the 65-minute chart. First, there is a really strong bearish divergence that has been shaping up over the last week, which is typically a really bearish signal. But at the same time, we're seeing a hidden bullish divergence taking place over the last 3 to 4 days. Interestingly enough, both of these signals are overlapping pretty perfectly. And a question that I get all of the time is, when you see these conflicting divergences, which direction should you lean? Do you lead towards the hidden divergence because they can tend to be stronger, or do you lead to the more obvious divergence because more traders are going to view it? Well, here's how I look at things. The longer the time frame, the more likely the move is to take place if it is a divergence. So because the 65-minute chart has conflicting divergences, I'm going to go out to the daily chart to see if there's anything else. And on the daily chart, there is a very, very slight bearish divergence. So I think the benefit of the doubt for this particular pattern is going to go towards the bears. So if I were to make a bet on this next week, I would expect a move lower. Last week, we talked about how I thought we were going to see a slight pullback, driven mostly by a tech sell-off because of the rally we've seen, and it was likely we would see some profit-taking. We did see that for the first couple of days of the week, but some strong earnings and very strong job numbers rallied the market the last couple of days. But my conviction remains the same. I think we'll see a tech-led sell-off at some point this week, probably somewhere near the middle, and I'm thinking it might be a pretty significant move. The last thing that I wanted to mention is the longer-term divergences that are playing out. Typically, when I'm analyzing the charts in this segment, I'm looking at the relatively short to midterm. I'm not necessarily thinking of a longer term move. However, if we are unable to break above that 417.40-ish level, then we will have officially played out a long term hidden bearish divergence. Again, this occurs when the price action is seeing lower highs, which we are technically seeing now as we have not made anything above that last swing high in June, and the oscillator is simultaneously making higher highs. Again, if we can't break above that 417.40-ish level, the technicals say the market is due for a rather substantial pullback. Given my continued thesis that this oil market pullback is temporary and we are in for more upside, I had to take this opportunity to buy the dip yet again and add another company that would likely outperform if oil does in fact have another rally. Taking a look at ExxonMobil, we see a stock that's trading over 16% below its highs from just about 2 months ago. ExxonMobil, or ticker XOM, recently released their earnings report to show that their earnings soared 276% to $4.14 per share in the second quarter. Their sales spiked 70% to $115 billion, and XOM stock has a near-perfect composite rating of 95. This means that both fundamentally and technically, everything looks incredibly bullish. Right now, we sit at about 88.43 and are just below the 50-day moving average. We also had a really sharp bounce on Friday off of that 23.6% Fibonacci level, near about 86.70. As the oil market starts to rebound and we see prices go higher, I completely expect this stock to retake its June highs and push towards $110 a share. Now, here comes the big prediction. Given the increased geopolitical conflicts, the ever-tightening supply, and the potential for a wildly increased demand given some of the factors we talked about earlier, I think that it would not be far-fetched to assume that we could see oil at about $150 a barrel at some point in quarter four of this year or quarter one of next year. Given this thesis, I am going to be continually averaging down on all oil-related plays until we can see the bounce that I fully expect to come in the coming months. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Man vs. Market. Again, if you enjoyed this episode or took anything away from it, please consider leaving a review and sharing it with anyone you think that might benefit from something like this. On that note, I will talk to you guys next week.